I've got a thought this morning, and just simply, I'm going to take a reading out of one verse. It's not particularly context of what's being read out of that verse, but I'm taking my thought from it, and I'll try to make that. In the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul here is speaking basically about discipline, actually, what the Apostle Paul is speaking about here in this fifth chapter. He's speaking about church discipline, and I'm going to take my thought, though, from the seventh verse of this fifth chapter, and with a thought on our heart this morning. It says, "Therefore, or purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." I want to take, if I can, for a moment of time this morning for a thought, that being Christ is our Passover. I was thinking about that this Sunday, of course, prior to next Sunday, as will be Easter, will be the resurrection of Christ. The day before the Sabbath was the preparation day. And the Passover is brought about, that thought is brought about by that day that was prior to that. It was given to us and it was called the Passover because of the writings in the Old Testament. We find some of these things, and as we go through this, I hope this morning that I want you to see that Christ was our Passover. I'm going to try to bring out these things, and none of these are new to you or something that you haven't heard, but I just wanted us to put in our hearts and our mind this morning, and I felt like the Lord wanted us to think and remember Christ, and that He died for us. And I don't care how many times you hear this or how many times it ought to stir our hearts. I'm afraid many times we get stagnant in our hearts and our minds, saying, "Oh, I've heard that 100 times. Well, it's just as precious and just as good every time you hear it, because it's a truth and it's a fact. It's the fact of God's Word, and I hope we can all see that this morning as we look at this. In the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, we turn back and we find the first teaching about the Passover, how that God instructed Moses to institute this Passover for His people. Now, we find in the earlier readings of this how that Moses had been going before the Pharaoh, and he had been trying to convince him to release all the people of Israel, that they could go and worship God. And we come down here into this 12th chapter, and we come down, and this was, I guess, through all the many things that went on, through all the plagues that God brought upon Egypt and the Pharaoh, and allowing them to see and understand the power and glory of the God that the Israelite people were serving. He wanted them, I guess this was the last and final straw. This was the one thing that they knew that they could not, God knew that they could not bear. And in this, I'm going to start reading in the third verse. It says, "Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Now I want to stop right here and pause for a moment and just state that I believe that this lamb that is being spoken of here is a early type and shadow of Christ. Christ in the Old Testament. Now, as we read on down through here, there was specifics that was given to this particular lamb. It was to be without blemish and without. It was supposed to be a male of the first year, without spot or without blemish, without imperfection, you'll say. And you shall, starting in the sixth verse, you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood. Now I'm speaking of the blood of the lamb that they're going to eat. They're going to take this blood and strike it on the two sides of the post and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So basically, what it's saying is that they were given instruction to basically to take hyssop, and they were to basically take that and go up one side across the top of the door and down the other side. And this was done for a reason and a purpose, that the blood was seen. And I preached here I preached here before about it's all about the blood. When it comes down to it, when it comes down to the end of time in our lives, and when the Lord looks at us as people, He's going to look through this old sinful fleshly body, and he's going to look into the heart. And I believe this spiritual application of the blood that's applied to us, when the imputed righteousness of God is put into us, when we have been saved by God's grace, that is what God is going to see. That is going to be the part and the point of us, and the only thing that will allow any of us to get into heaven is that imputed righteousness, that spiritual, if you want to say, the blood of Christ that was shed abroad upon our hearts, as the Bible states it. It was shed abroad upon our hearts, and that's what's going to separate us from all those that are lost, all those that haven't believed, and all those that haven't trusted in Christ. That blood, this blood that they put upon the side post and the lintel or the top and the sides of their doors when they went into their homes to partake of this special lamb, this special offering, this one time here, was what was going to keep them safe. It's the same thing that's going to keep us safe. It's the same thing that's going to get us home one of these days. It's what's going to get us there. And they shall take the blood and strike it upon the side post and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and the bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at any or at all with water, but roast with fire, its head and its legs, and with the pertinence thereof. It means everything inside of it. Roast it whole. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn it with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your belt on, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And the day will be a memorial to you. In the next verse it says. But my thought is this morning is that Christ is our Passover. And this was a time that God was delivering his people from bondage out of Egypt. And this was the time that he told them to be ready to go. All right? When you do this, first thing I want you got to be ready when this is going on. You got to be ready because when I pass through tonight, there's going to be the firstborn killed in every household. And you can read on through this writing in this 12th chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole thing for time's sake, but you can read on through here and you can find out that the firstborn of every household died. They died. The plague come upon all them. And even their livestock, the firstborn, died. This plague that come upon them. Needless to say, after all that, they told Moses to gather his people and to leave the city and to go worship their God. And that's what they did. They left the city. This thing that I wanted to try to bring emphasis about, the lamb that was without spot and without blemish, that is what I was focusing on as far as the Old Testament. You can turn over into the Old Testament writings in the book of Isaiah. And we find some more familiar verses here in this chapter. And it says, I'll just start reading in the 7th verse. It said, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as the sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit. There was no spot or no blemish. There was neither any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. See, had Christ never came to this earth, lived a perfect life, spotless, without blemish, with no guile in his mouth, had he not been the perfect sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world, then where would all of our iniquities been at today? What would we have laid our sins upon? Who would we have laid our sins upon? Who could have covered us from all the sins of our life? Who? Nobody. Nobody. The Bible plainly teaches that it was completely of Christ. That He was the one that did that. That he was that sacrificial lamb. He was the one that died for us, that took upon himself the iniquities, the sin, that's what that word means, took it upon himself, the sin of this world, and died for us because he loved us. In the readings over in the 19th chapter of the book of John, this is speaking about the time of the crucifixion of Jesus, and I think y'all read in Sunday school this morning the recount of Matthew, didn't you? In the 14th verse it says, "And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out anyway with him, Away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst." I'll stop right here and make a special note. This particular 18th verse here, for anybody that might think that there are other ways other than through Christ into heaven, they might want to take a note and study upon these two men that was on the cross on either side of him. You can look over in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, and you can find about these two men, and one of them, he wasn't a very nice person. Actually, both of them weren't. But one of them realized that he wasn't, and realized that Christ had done nothing wrong. And it was that one, while he was upon the cross, that got saved, I believe, right there on the cross, right prior to his death. Not enough time to do any works or to join any church or to do anything like that. He believed in Jesus upon that cross, and Jesus told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise, today." And I believe, just like Jesus said, that day he was. Because I believe that his soul was saved and heaven was his home. I believe that's the reference that paradise is having made there. But when we look at this and we find in this the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, "And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king." Christ was there, and you know, all the Jews, all those that were supposedly his people, those that he delivered from the bondage of slavery from Pharaoh, all those that were there, all those his very people that claimed to be Christians, were the ones that were crucifying him. They were the ones that had put him up on the cross. And they chose to release a man that was evil, that was a murderer, to my understanding. They chose to release him rather than Jesus. But Jesus knew that was his will, and that it was supposed to be that way. You know, when we was at the TV taping the other day, I didn't get halfway through my sermon that I wanted to preach, and I just kind of sort of, I got started, and when I got started, it was over, pretty much. But, you know, my theme then, that salvation is in and through Christ. And there's no other way. Christ came here for a specific reason. And if you've never believed in Christ until the salvation of your soul, I don't care what you've ever done in your life, heaven will not be your home. It just ain't going to work. Bible said the last enemy in the 15th chapter, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. See, when Christ was up there on that cross and he took his last breath, he said, "It is finished." I believe that in him saying that, I feel that he meant that he had came down to this earth and he had done just exactly what the Father wanted him to do. He had came down here to this earth and he had lived a life that was pleasing to God well enough to the point that he could die for the sins of the world. See, death is a big thing. It's a big thing. It's an important thing. But I believe that when people come to the true understanding of Jesus and what He did for us, the shedding of His blood, I just believe in the preaching of Jesus. Because I know that's who you got to believe in and trust in with all your heart to be saved. You think about there's an example over here in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, where you read about an Ethiopian eunuch that was searching the scriptures, and he was trying to understand what they said. And matter of fact, he was reading out of the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and he was trying to understand just exactly what He was talking about what the Bible was saying, what the truth was saying. He wanted to know who that lamb was. And the Bible said that the Spirit drawed Philip toward him, and he went and he preached to him Jesus. He preached to him Jesus. And he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart." See, that's what it's all about. We as missionary Baptists, we in Ephesians 2:8-9, we hammer those verses down. It is for by grace that you are saved. For by grace you are saved. Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. We hammer that because why? That is it. By grace you're saved. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I say over and over, if there's anything that we can do within ourselves to be saved, then we're going to do it. And we're going to take all the claim for it, and we did it ourselves, and we're going to forget God. But see, the way this salvation plan that He set in place works is we have to be brought down low. We have to be brought down low. We have to be in our heart and our mind. Sin has to be revealed by God, by the Holy Spirit of God. It has to be revealed in our mind through the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of Jesus. It has to get a hold of us and affect us and bring us to that very low point in our life to where we know that there is nothing that we can do, and we just give up and turn everything over to Jesus and believe and trust in Him. See, that takes everything away from us, don't it? We have no pride. There's no pomp about us because we have to be brought down low. And that's the reason the world that we live in today don't want to believe in that way of salvation. They don't want to think about that kind of thing. They don't want to think of falling on their face and calling out to a holy God or being willing to get your heart right before an almighty God. When the Lord looks at your heart, He knows your heart. And if you're really repentant, if you're really going to do what's coming out of your mouth. There's a lot of people makes a lot of vain claims as far as I know when I was a sinner, I made a lot of vain claims. You know why I know that? Because it took me a long time before I got through the Lord and He saved my soul. He knew my heart. But when I got my heart right before Him, when I kept seeking on Him, and that conviction kept getting heavier, and the flames of hell got hotter and hotter, and it drawed me to the point, my heart got right and I turned everything over to Him. And when I turned everything over to Him, He saved my soul. And He gave me something that I can know and something that I can feel. And that's the reason I can stand before you today and not claim anything as far as my salvation goes. It was totally of God. Totally of God. There was nothing that I could do. I come to that point, Lord, there's nothing I can do. What am I going to do? I can't do nothing. I just can't do nothing. When I got there, though, that's when I got to the lowest, that's when He lifted me up. When I got just as low as I could go, when I give everything up, that's when He reached down and He picked me up. And I knowed it because I felt it. I knew it, that burden, that all that weight of sin and sorrow that was on me, that those flames of hell was quenched. There was a peace that overtook all that I was feeling. And I knew there was something happened to me. And I wasn't worried anymore about death. I believed in Jesus with all my heart. And when I read that verse in here, in this writing of Corinthians, it says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I have that understanding that Jesus was the one that came and destroyed it. He destroyed it. Satan has no hold over anybody that has been saved by God's grace. Satan has no hold. Death has no hold on you. Oh, we're all going to die one of these days, but the death that I'm speaking of, the death that includes the pains of hell and the sorrows and the misery and all the suffering that you'll go through eternity, I don't have to worry about that. When I die one of these days, I have an assurance in my heart and I know that heaven is going to be my home. Why? Because Christ died for me. All this because Christ died for me. Christ was our Passover. His blood was shed abroad in my heart. He became Passover lamb for this world, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There are many, many verses that I was looking at and I was reading this, and in Peter, in the first chapter, and it says in 18th, I think through about 21st verse here, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot, without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in the last times for you. By Him... do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's just plain and simple, ain't it? Plain and simple. How anybody can think that they can work or do anything to get into heaven is beyond me. But there's a world that does. There's a lot of people that thinks that the things that they've done in this life, a church membership, so many people claim that those things is going to get them into heaven. But brothers and sisters, we got to hold on to Jesus. Anything short of Jesus Christ and repentance and faith in Him is a work of man. Anything. Over in the 5th chapter of the book of Revelations, we read here, and I believe this is having reference to the book of the redeemed that's being spoke of here, that's being said about. But it says in the 6th verse, it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of a throne of four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him, and sat there on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 4 and 20 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. Jesus was slain, and it was His blood. You can think about this. You can just look at it just like in that Old Testament. That if you've been saved by God's grace, the lintels and the sideposts of your hearts is covered in the blood of Christ. And when the Lord comes back one of these days, if He comes back before we die, when He comes back, that blood, when He sees that blood, He's going to pass over all those that hadn't. Hell's an awful place. The Bible tells us hell is an awful place. Lord, I pray that we can preach Jesus, that they would be saved, and that won't even be an alternative for them. God bless. These are my thoughts this morning, and I hope that they will have their effects today as we come into this season, this time of year when there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going on that don't have a bit more to do with the death of Christ than the man in the moon. Understand what is right. And remember, Christ is your Passover. He died for you. Give Him the honor and glory that He deserves in your life. He would bless your lives, is my prayer. That's my message for the day. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart. Anything else on anyone's heart before we dismiss? Now I know we've got some stuff going on, but let's follow the Lord. I hope it stirred your heart as much this morning as it stirred mine in study on this. If not, all standing will be dismissed. We actually got leftovers from last Sunday downstairs for all that will stay and eat. A lot of soups and sandwiches still left. So if you can't at all, we want you to, you are visiting with us today. We're certainly glad you're visiting. We'd love to have you stay with us and eat if you can. Even if you came, we're certainly glad that you came to be with us today. We do have a visiting preacher tonight. Travis Garner is his name. Brother Travis Garner. He will be coming to preach for us tonight at 6. And all that can and will, please come back and support him. I can't think of anything else. If anybody's got anything.
Brother Armour, I've got applications up here for Bill Remy. I just want to make sure everybody knows that the church is going to pay for anybody associated with our church to attend this five and a half day camp. It's a gospel singing camp, for those that don't know that. I recommend this camp to everyone, not just to our children. I was hugely blessed last year when I went up there and spent a week with these children and watched the love that they shared with each other. We can all learn from that. and the friendships that were built that I pray last a lifetime. But I'm just going to leave these up here. It is a different week this week, excuse me, this year. It's the second week in November. In June, sorry. Try that again. June 10th through 16th. What year are we in? Anybody know? Anyway, June 10th through 16th. Once again, I highly recommend this. I really do. I even learned to actually know when I'm supposed to sing. Doesn't mean I can sing, but I do know when I'm supposed to. And that means a lot. That actually is a big help, I'm sure, to Brenda Burke, too. So they do have evening classes for whoever, can be adults, can be children. So I'm going to just leave these up here. Y'all make sure if you do want to go that you pick up one. We need to have them back by the 1st of May. The 1st of May so we can save a little bit of money. And Brother Armour, I enjoyed your message this morning. And Brother Burke, I enjoyed your Sunday school lesson. I really did. I'm going to carry both of them with me through this week. And I just thank you.
Appreciate this. I certainly remember. You know, if you don't go, I'm going to just say this. If you don't go and attend this, go up and visit the night services that they go up there. There is a speaker every night that preaches. Every night to those kids that are up there. There's a preacher that'll preach. And there, I'll just say this. Spirit of the Lord meets with them. In a great way. Lord, children are the apple of his eye. And he truly meets with them. And it's good. I'll just say that. It's good stuff. Anything else on anyone's heart? If not, Brother James Park, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?